That was, I really enjoyed that. And thank you so much to Imagine Gracie for coming in. That was absolutely brilliant. And now we've got my interview with Anna Pancaldi. So sit back and relax and listen to Anna chatting to me about her new single and going on tour and lots of other things too.
Welcome back to my guest, Anna Pancaldi. Hello, Anna.
Hello. It's lovely to be here.
It's lovely to have you back here on the arts programme on Phoenix FM. It's been a while since we last spoke to you. Lots has happened since then. And we're here to talk about your new single and also your tour. But let's first of all fill in a bit of a gap. We were trying to remember when we last saw you, and it was at least 2 years ago, possibly even three. Tell us what you've been doing since then.
It's been a busy, but yeah, very fruitful and exciting time. Since then, gosh, I've kind of been over lockdown. I kind of learned how to record vocals at home, which has opened up so many doors, being able to do a little bit of self-production. And yeah, I've kind of been making a lot of music for film and TV. So that's been really a thrill. The first time I saw my name in the credits on a Paramount film, I was literally jumping around the room. It was such an exciting moment, and not one that I necessarily ever thought I would experience. And and writing a lot of new music for myself, and now I'm kind of getting back into playing live again and touring, and it's been great. I think having that time at home, I'm really pleased that I sort of gained one skill that would be useful, you know, whilst, you know, when we were let out again. And it's opened up lots of opportunities, so I feel really grateful for that.
Well, let's just pick up a few of those things, because there's lots in that that's really important to talk about. But I want to talk about your approach to writing and how you craft your songs. And you've done quite a lot of they're called writing rooms, aren't they? So you've kind of written with other people and you write on your own. Tell us how those things happen. How do you get to be writing with other people?
Yeah, so when I first started out in music, I never co-wrote. I hadn't sort of co-written with anybody. And then, yeah, my manager at the time had just sort of suggested, he was like, you know, this would just be really great for just for musical exploration and growth, just to learn how to collaborate with other people. So it took me a long time to warm up to that, I'm not going to lie. But my manager was the first person that kind of got me into rooms with people. But, you know, later down the line, you know, you end up playing so many shows and meeting so many artists, and you know, you naturally end up, you know, creating those sessions for yourself. But I really enjoy it, and depending on what the project's for, or whether it's for me or other people, it's really wonderful to be able to engage different parts of your brain and writing across different genres, and that sort of expansion of my creative mind has been really wonderful.
And you've written outside of the UK, haven't you? You've gone to various different places of the US and written with different groups there as well, haven't you?
Yeah, so I toured in the States, and I'm so eager to get back. And I've spent sort of, yeah, long chunks of time between LA, Nashville and New York touring and writing. And, you know, they've been some of my favourite shows I've ever played. I really... you know, the visa sort of situation getting over there is sort of long and expensive. So it's not, you can't just be like, oh, I'll just pop over and do a tour. And especially with the climate now, it's made things even trickier. But some of my fondest musical memories are stateside.
But you are an Essex girl. you were born and brought up in Colchester, wasn't it?
I am trying to break all stereotypes from our from that phrase, literally for decades. I proudly grew up in a little village called Chapel, just outside of Essex. It sort of seems to be known for its beer festival and its ginormous viaduct, which apparently has is the second largest brick structure in, I don't know, in England, like behind Battersea Power Station, which is pretty awesome.
Wow.
Yeah. Could need a fact check there, but I was told that, so.
That's quite an accolade for a small town to have. Where do you get, I mean, I'm wondering if you've ever written about your hometown, and maybe not the kind of, how to write a song about a brick building or a brick structure, maybe not that interesting, but where do you get your inspiration for writing from? So we've kind of talked about how you collaborate with other people. What kind of inspires you to write songs?
Really, for me, it's whatever the mood and yeah, whatever chapter of your sort of life's book you're going through, I do think it's interesting in terms of composing, how one can often draw back on experiences that they've had a long time ago and still sort of find renewed passion. I wouldn't say it's quite the right word, but it's a place that, and it's almost like this sort of little epicenter that you find yourself returning to quite frequently. And I absolutely experienced that. And then, but it's not, you know, I grew up listening to incredible music. You know, I'm grateful that I sort of have all those melodies and lyrics kind of swooshing around in my psyche. But in terms of, you know, I think when you're a songwriter, you really have to pull from the life that you're living and, you know, situations that you choose to put yourself in, others of which that you're forced to put in just through, you know, we can't control everything in life. And, but that really has been my inspiration, absolutely. Just my own journey in this mad, mad world.
That's obviously doing you very well, because as you said before, you had some fantastic success with Music Sync. So you've had your music played in some amazing places. So let's talk about that for a second. But what does Music Sync mean for some of our audiences who might not understand what that is?
Yeah, I honestly, I've now kind of got this little voice in my head that every time I say sync, like sync music, all I can hear, like I can see, is just a kitchen sink, because I'm like out of context. It is so utterly confusing. But it's basically just music that's placed in film and TV generally. And this year I had a Grey's Anatomy trailer, and I've had music placed in I had Nancy Drew just last week, but that's sort of just over in the States. And yeah, Famous in Love, Pretty Little Liars. Yeah, just kind of, you know, and I initially had a company that represented me exclusively to kind of deal with all of that, but now I'm fully independent. And you know, and I think there's a lot to be said about being a part of the music industry. It's, you know, at its core, a very creative place, but you know, it's also my full-time job, and it's a business, and therefore, you know, you're always having to continue building your music community, which is, you know, in part networking and growing the connections that you have, which has, you know, given me the opportunity to be in the place now where I can kind of, you know, sometimes I make things in a bespoke way, sometimes it's music that I've already written that gets used in film and TV, but I think at the moment just feeling very grateful, because yeah, I've been hustling for a long time, like, you know, over 10 years, and I sort of feel like being a part of any creative industry sort of feels like the longest endurance test, like a lifelong endurance test, to see if you can carry on through, you know, the peaks and troughs and the setbacks and the successes. And, you know, there's almost most definitely, you know, many more times that you're sort of in the valley of your career. And so I'm really relieved that this year there's some really exciting things happening.
One day I know I feel home again, home again, home again. One day I know I feel strong again, lift my head. Many times I've been told, all this talk, so I'll close my eyes, look behind, moving on, moving on. So I'll close my eyes, look behind, moving on. Lost again, lost again. Smile again, smile again. One day I hope to make you smile again. I moving on, moving on, so I could close my eyes and the tears will clear. Then I feel no fear. Then I feel no way. My past will be made straight. Home again, home again. One day I know I feel home again. Home again, home again. One day I know I feel strong again. Lift my head. So I close my eyes, oh, look behind, moving on, moving on. So I close my eyes, oh, look behind, moving on.
Trying to figure it out. Nothing better to do when I'm stuck on you. I'm still on here trying to figure it out. Getting hard to sleep, blood is in my dreams. Love is killing me, trying to figure it out. Nothing better to do when I'm stuck on you. I'm still in here trying to figure it out.
Other job, is it? I mean, there's not very many jobs that would put you through those highs and lows of success. If you kind of think about, you know, the general population and the general types of jobs, you might go into a role where, you know, one week you've performed better than the next week and you have a chat with your line manager, but that's nowhere near the kind of the extremity, the kind of the extremes of highs and lows that you get being a musician, being an artist. How do you manage that?
I think now I sort of, it sort of sounds gloomy, but it's not. I work for everything but expect nothing, and that's kind of become my motto so that I can cope with disappointments when they come. But I'm also really just, yeah, you know, when these wins come in, I'm really trying to learn how to celebrate them and to really enjoy them, because I think it's just, you know, reflective of our society. We're always on to the next thing. We're always, you know, but actually that like buzzing feeling you get when, you know, like when I got the Grey's Anatomy trailer this year, I was so excited. I just, and it's so wonderful to experience that, you know, because you know what the rejection feels like, and you know what, you know, when you've sort of failed, or maybe that's not quite the right word, but you know, when things haven't worked out in the way that you'd sort of hoped that they would, you know the depths of those places, you know, deeply. And yeah, I don't know that one always learns how to completely manage it, but I'm glad that I'm getting to some places and achieving some things that I'm really proud of, and that I get to sort of tipple over into the joy side of it.
And it, I mean, I imagine that it feels like a very validating experience to see a piece of your music that's on, you know, internationally renowned TV shows and films. I mean, it's a big thing for an artist to have a sync deal, isn't it? Why is it such an important thing? I mean, obviously, I imagine that there's a financial aspect to this which makes a big difference to an artist's career. But why else is it really important?
Yeah, I think, you know, just when you're an artist, people often, they want to be able to attach something, or something for you to be associated with something that they've recognised. So, you know, even when you're promoting like a new single, and, you know, there's all these ways that you can, you know, that we're promoting our music, but it really does help when you have become affiliated with, you know,
a brand, a well-known
success, yeah, of, you know, a TV show or a film. And I think for other people, it's sort of like a nod of like, oh, right, yeah, okay, they're not rubbish. You know, when people don't, when they haven't heard you, you know, when they haven't clicked on to, you know, wherever they choose to listen to music and to have a listen before they formulated an opinion, they're like, oh, other people want, you know, are obviously investing in that. But yeah, so absolutely, you know, financial side of it is so important. And, you know, yeah, it's so expensive to be a part of the industry, and we all need money for things. It's not glamorous to sort of be like, oh, you know, the music industry's, you know, tough, but it is in a tough space, and I think it's in a tougher space than it's ever been. So getting these placements means more than ever, because yes, you know, it's great to be able to say that I've been a part of it, but financially it helps, you know, keep my artist career going. And yeah, and it's just a lovely dose of happiness. And you know, if I'm being completely honest, in my mind, I sort of feel that I'm sort of preset to feel like, you know, you get the things that you want, and then, yeah, you do feel like you have to hastily move on to the next thing, or that, you know, I've definitely absolutely, you know, still got a lot of imposter syndrome. So that's why getting those placements in film and TV, you know, there's many wonderful things about it, but I do get like just a little injection of joy.
It's really important, and I think it is really important to celebrate it, because it's a huge amount of work to get to that point where you do get those offers, and when they come, like you say, you should feel that celebration. You have every right to feel like you've earned that celebration. And, you know, I think if people don't really understand, the money that comes from being an artist isn't represented by the kind of, you know, the top 20 artists in the charts. That's not what everyday musicians who do brilliant tours, worldwide tours, who have sync deals, who have, you know, fantastic music writing with other people, all of those things. But there's only a very few people in that kind of that echelon of those kind of multi-million pound deals, and everyone else is just trying to make their way, and it's everyone else's music that we need to keep us all going. So it's a really important moment to celebrate. So I'm glad you did. I saw you celebrating that on social media and I thought, well, that's just amazing. What a fantastic thing. We're going to talk about your new single, but before we talk about it, let's have a listen to it. So do you want to introduce your new single and we'll give it a play and then we'll come back and talk about it?
So yes, this is Stay This Way by me, Anna Pancaldi.
Creeps in late at night, and first thing with the morning light, it's just no getting used to any of this. 'Cause you're gone so I can't go home. Just gonna hurt and that's the way it goes. We don't always get to have a say. I don't want you to go, but you can't stay. Wish we could stay this way. Just wanna stay the same. Wish we could stay this way. It's not easier with time, just gets harder to define. I'm filled with all of this white noise instead of you. 'Cause you're gone so gonna hurt and that's the way it goes. We don't always get to have a say. I don't want you to go, but you can't stay. Wish we could stay this way. Just wanna stay the same. Wish we could stay this way.
At Active Signs and Designs Limited, our team are passionate about getting you noticed. First impressions are everything. So if you're driving a commercial vehicle, how are people seeing you? Our vehicle graphic products and well-designed signage can make you stand out from the crowd. Give the team a call on 01708 343 555 or visit us at activesignsanddesigns.co.uk and start getting your business noticed today.
Welcome to award-winning care and luxurious living at Avery Collection at Brentwood Arches. We offer residential, nursing and dementia care delivered by highly trained and dedicated staff with spacious accommodation, light and airy apartments, expansive communal areas and gardens that allow residents to retain their independence in style. Join us for a look round and discover what life is like at Avery Collection at Brentwood Arches. Visit our website to find out more. Search for Avery Healthcare.
Is slow broadband cramping your style? Don't buffer in silence. Join BeFibre today and experience reliable, full fibre broadband. Enjoy a seamless, free installation and access to our UK-based customer service team. This is what streams are made of. This is broadband as it should be. This is BeFibre. Upgrade your world today at b-fibre.co.uk.
Are you hungry? Then why not try an award-winning Indian takeaway from Hut and Spice? All our meals are cooked to order using the freshest ingredients, bringing you the finest traditional Indian dishes. To order, visit our website at www.huttonspice.com or give us a call on Brentwood 226 124 and see why we're the favourite choice of customers across Brentwood to Billericay.
With the colder weather almost here, it's time to make those all-important home improvements to keep you warm and secure through the winter. Upgrading your windows and doors with SCH VAC will not only help improve the energy performance of your home and save you money on your heating bills, but will also keep you safe with the latest security features. Plus, get up to 35% off windows, doors, conservatories and extensions. Visit SCHBAC.com to find your nearest showroom and see our new product ranges. Terms and conditions apply.
Phoenix FM.
by Anna Pancaldi, and I have been playing this for the last few weeks. Anna gave it to me and told me it was now available to play. I love it. I absolutely love it. But tell me the background of this, because this came to you, didn't it?
I co-wrote it with a writer in LA, just over Zoom. But it wasn't intended to be for me as an artist. And we sort of got to the end of the session and I was like, I really love this song and I'm going to have it. So we just sort of like reworked the lyrics a bit so that it suited my own personal experiences. And it's the only time it has ever happened in a co-writing scenario. Generally, for my own artist thing, I don't co-write loads. But when I do, I really kind of need to be in the room. I write on Zoom all the time still. But for this song, yeah, it was its own little special little parcel of goodness that I just needed to keep for myself. So, I wrote this, I guess it was maybe last year. Who knows? Time frames have got a little bit blurry, actually, not generally, just always. But for me, in a lot of my songs, I'm very reflective of my childhood and, went through, some really awful, awful loss when I was a teenager, and it really has defined my life going through the bereavement that I will always experience for as long as I am here on planet Earth. And I just really in the last year have only been able to find a way of speaking about that a little bit more openly. Previously I just have always been very ambiguous, and I think grief is it's such a universal experience, and we're all connected by birth and death in its broadest meaning. But I experienced it at a time when I absolutely shouldn't have, and so many of my songs really do always sort of draw back to that time of experiencing death in our family. And I always sort of struggle to find the right word for it, but I'm pleased that sometimes my music has found the people that have been through a similar experience, who they've mentioned how I've managed to articulate things that they haven't been able to express through my music, and that means a huge amount. And so the song, it really is just about wishing that your life sometimes could just freeze frame into another epoch of life that you're no longer living in, and the grappling with being completely out of control, and sometimes the harsh reality of that things are going to hurt, and that's the way it goes. And you just don't have a say. It's such a strange experience. I think when you experience that in such an extreme way.
I think that would resonate with so many people, that kind of that idea of wanting to freeze frame life for a bit, because the grief often feels like a never ending heavy weighted suitcase that you're dragging around with you, and sometimes just being able to freeze frame that, or to go back to a place and freeze frame for a moment. I think I can imagine lots of people would resonate with that sense of wanting to do that. But again, what we get from music is the gift of musicians being able to help us understand those things and being able to help us heal from those things. And I really hope that, like you say, lots of people take something from your music and it helps them on their journeys. And I suppose that's kind of one of the reasons why you are sharing some of your experiences and some of your kind of lifelong lessons, because it's helpful to other people. So have you seen over the past couple of years, obviously you've been kind of writing different music and kind of thinking about all these other things, have you seen a change in your audiences? Have you kind of seen different followers? Because I remember seeing you live in a gig pre-lockdown, and you did this really special thing when you came out into the audience and stood in the middle of us and played and sang, and it was just really special and really intimate. And are you still able to do things like that, or has your audiences changed? What does it look like for you now going out and doing a gig?
No, they're all just wonderful. I just was absolutely gagging to get back on stage again after lockdown. You know, for me, that is my happy place, performing live and connecting with people face to face. And so my first headline show I had in London back in May, which sold out early, which again was like, oh, thank God, people still want to come and hear me sing. And I got out into the crowd again. And so, no, I think the audiences are wonderful and loving. I've not had anyone throw anything weird at me, so that's always nice. I know that's been making headlines recently. And it's just a place for me to connect more, you know, in a more meaningful way. And yeah, so whenever I have the opportunity to get off of stage, and you know, I think all these little things within gigs, just you really, there's a lot of people, you know, out there, and we're all doing the same thing, and you're, I guess, wanting to give people another little something that people will remember, just as you have said that, you know, that you had that takeaway from the show, which is awesome to hear.
Yeah. I've never been in a gig like that where I felt that sense of intimate relationship with the artist, being part of their story and being allowed in at that kind of really deeper level. That will stay with me forever.
Oh, Claire, thank you so much. Yeah, and it's great to hear it, you know, from the other side, because I do sometimes think when you're the artist and the performer, like sometimes people come up to me and they'll be like, oh, you know, you really love that, but obviously you know that, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, dude, if you know the internal monologue that goes on in my brain, it's like, I'm so grateful when people take the time to say it, because it's a complicated place to be in our own minds. Thank you, Claire.
So you are back on tour, which is absolutely fantastic, and I'm quite excited whether I'm going to come and see you in London or whether I'm going to come and see you in Colchester or both. But let's talk about both.
Just come on the whole tour. It's fine.
I will definitely come and be your roadie. Tell me about your tour. So you're starting off in London at the Waiting Room?
Yes, October the 20th at the Waiting Room in Stoke Newington with my band. They are amazing. And they played the last headline show with me in May, and it just, everything just gets to come alive when you've got the band, as it, you know, and you hear it as, you know, as people hear it online. So yeah, starting in London, and then I'm thrilled to be going home to Colchester to play, because I have not played there in such a long time. And you just like, I haven't played in ages, will people come out? But actually I checked the ticket sales today and they've been selling really, really nicely, so I'm so happy that I've done that. And then I'm touring all over Edinburgh, Manchester, Birmingham, Sheffield, loads more places. And so I'm going to spend sort of the latter part of this year on the road in all sorts of different amazing venues, some of them beautiful little cute smaller venues, some of them bigger. There's like a really lovely array of venues, so thank God that lots of them are still there.
That's another thing. Thank God they're all still there. It's a really nice mix of shows, though, and that's going to take you all the way through to beginning of December as well. So it's a nice chunk of tour.
Yeah, it's great. And I have some really great new merch that I've collaborated with my mum, actually, because she's an amazing clothes designer. And I'm not doing T-shirts. I'm breaking out of the mold, and to be fair, I don't think I've ever had a t-shirt for sale, but I just wanted to try and do things a bit differently. So I've got my own brand of gin.
I have collaborated with
the distillery. So that's coming on the road with me again. And basically these amazing people will be able to order them online soon, but crossbody bags. I'm having Anna Pancaldi crossbody bags, because I literally don't ever take mine off, and now I'm going to have my own brand of them. So anyways, got cool things like that, and and just wonderful to just be on the road for a long period of time, just that, you know, releasing music and doing all that, those things that are really important, but to back it up with a tour, you know, you just want to keep on expanding so that I can stay out for as long as possible.
Yeah. Will the hats make an appearance?
No, the hat, sorry, there we go, that's one change. I don't wear a hat anymore. I went from feeling really cool in my Stetson to just felt like I look like an idiot. I don't know why. It was not anything to do with anybody else. It was just me personally just being like, you look like a mug. wiser. And I was like, nah, the minute you feel like that, you've got to get on stage and feel amazing. And if you're questioning that, then take off the hat.
Fair enough, fair enough. I love the hat, but, you know, I do like a hat. So, you know, I thought it looked amazing. But I can totally see why you've got to do what's right for you, haven't you? And you must kind of look back and think about how much you've changed over the last kind of 5-10 years, you know, like from when you first started out to where you are now. We're all changing anyway as individuals, as we kind of, you know, if we ever grow up, but we all change. But I think one of the things that I always found incredible about kind of artists is that they're changing in the public domain. So you're kind of seeing people grow and change through their lives very publicly. But I suppose, you know, that's the learning curve as well, isn't it? Of kind of looking back and saying, well, actually, I don't want to look like that anymore. I don't want to sound like that anymore. And this is now my identity, and this is what I'm kind of trying to present. So have you seen that kind of change in you over the last sort of 5-10 years?
Yeah, I've definitely evolved. I think some things are sort of quite similar, but I think it's good to feel the one real difference, which I would say probably I've only felt sort of in the last year or so, is just, feeling a bit more grounded in my career. And I think you get so used to sort of, you know, just everything kind of being up in the air and, you know, unreliable. And yeah, and now I sort of feel a little bit more firmly feeted in the ground, and that's a lovely feeling, you know. So apart from the hat and all of that, you know it's I've still got so many enormous dreams. Like, I've achieved a whole bunch of them, but I think success is an ever-moving sort of, you know, it's got an ever-moving little target, so you get to what you want. And I don't really think you stop dreaming, when especially when you're in sort of creative industry, because of that euphoria that you experience when you arrive.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Never stop dreaming. That's really important. Anna, look, it's been absolutely glorious to talk to you again. You are such a generous guest as well in sharing your thoughts and feelings and your career with us. So thank you for coming back on the arts programme at Phoenix FM. We are definitely, well, I am definitely going to be there at some of your gigs, if not all of them, if I can, at least two. And we will be continuing to play your new single, Stay This Way, because it's absolutely gorgeous. So thank you so much for being my guest today, Anna.
Thank you for having me. And if people want tickets to the tour or crossbody bags, literally just go to the good old website. It's just www.annapancaldi.com. So that's PANCALDI. But yeah, I'm on everywhere you expect anyone to be in a modern world. But yeah, thank you, Claire. Lots of love, Phoenix FM.
At Active Signs and Designs Limited, our team are passionate about getting you noticed. First impressions are everything. So if you're driving a commercial vehicle, how are people seeing you? Our vehicle graphic products and well-designed signage can make you stand out from the crowd. Give the team a call on 01708 343 555 or visit us at activesignsanddesigns.co.uk and start getting your business noticed today.
EV Charging Systems, your local, independent and experienced specialist home and workplace charge point suppliers and installers. With over 1,000 installations throughout Essex and East London and a 5-star excellent Trustpilot rating, we provide great personal service and are committed to help Essex drivers go green. Visit www.evchargingsystems.co.uk or call us on 01268 710 459. Install, charge and go with EV Charging Systems.
Lealino Billericay is an exquisite modern Lebanese restaurant featuring a beautifully expansive outdoor garden and a private dining room, a perfect setting to celebrate any occasion. We take pride in serving traditional dishes infused with a delightful modern twist, meticulously crafted using only the finest ingredients. To book a table or inquire about exclusive venue hire, call us on 01277 714 777 and join us to indulge in the epitome of modern Lebanese hospitality.
The all-new Players Lounge has got everything you need for the perfect night out. With two bars, a restaurant and the best sound and lighting system in Essex. With regular special events and guest DJs, you're always guaranteed a brilliant night at Players. On the 5th of February, it's top DJ Roman Kemp. And on the 12th of February, it's the Stars of House with Marcus Dryden, Mickey Star Lewis and Daryl Privett. Check us out and book now at players-lounge.co.uk.
Could you give the precious gift of time? Our St. Francis Hospice charity shops urgently need more volunteers. By volunteering at our shops, you'll be helping us to make a real difference to local people that need our experienced care. You'll also gain new skills and make new friends along the way. Apply to volunteer in our shops today. Go to sfh.org.uk/volunteer.
Phoenix FM.
Yeah, I'm okay. I'm okay. Like a razor.
right in front of me. Such a sad and sorry scene, I know. I shouldn't drink.
Sorry, I missed ending that song and starting the next one. That's all we've got time for this week. Gosh, I can't believe that has gone so very quickly today. But thank you so much to my guests, Anna Pancaldi, and to the wonderful Madge, and guests from Brendan and Birch. And thank you so much. Next up is the wonderful Nigel with 2 hours of the best soul and funk and disco to party your Sunday evening away. And remember, if you want to suggest anything that you'd like to hear on the show about the world of arts and culture, please get in touch with us, the arts program at phoenixfm.com, or find us on Facebook and Twitter at Program Arts. So we're going to be leaving you with Richard Hawley's Ballad of a Thin Man, and we'll see you next week when Natalie is back in the studio. Time to go. Have a great week. I've been Claire, and this has been the arts program on Phoenix FM.
In your hand, you see somebody naked and you say, who is that man? You try so hard, but you don't understand just what you will say when you get home, because something is happening here, but you don't know what it is. Do you, Mr. Jones? You raise up your head and you ask, is this where it is? And somebody points to you and says, it's his. And you say, what's mine? And somebody else says, well, what is? And you say, oh my God, am I here all alone? But something is happening, you don't know what it is. Do you, Mr. Jones? You hand in your ticket and you go watch the geek, who immediately walks up to you and hears you speak and says, how does it feel to be such a freak? And you say, impossible, as he hands you a bone. And something is happening here, but you don't know what it is. Do you, Mr. Jones? Jacks to get
get you facts when somebody attacks your imagination. Nobody has any respect. Anyway, they already expect you to all give a check to tax-deductible charity organizations. You've been with the professors. They've all liked your looks. With great lawyers you have discussed lepers and crooks. You've been through all of F. Scott Fitzgerald's books. You're very well read, it's well known. But something has happened here, and you don't know what it is. Do you, Mr. Jones? Well, the sword swallower, he comes up to you and he kneels. He crosses himself and then he clicks his high heels. Without further notice, he asks you how it feels, and he says, here's your throat back, thanks for the loan. You know something has happened here, you don't know what it is. Do you, Mr. Jones? Now you see this one-eyed midget shouting the word now. Say for what reason, and he says how, and you say what does this mean, and he screams back, you're a cow, give me some milk or else go home. You know something is happening here, but you don't know what it is. Do you?
Community Radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.